ask that you pray for me as I preach the gospel to you tonight. I had a message that I wanted to preach, and within the last few hours, I had another message that I thought I should preach, and I believe the Lord laid this on my heart, and I pray, Lord, be gracious and bear with me as I preach this message. Again, kind of a change, and I don't like change very much, but I believe the Lord compelled me to preach this message to you tonight, and I pray, Lord, will give me the liberty that I need. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Entitled this message, The First Resurrection. Now, the scripture here says, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We sang that song just a minute ago, One Day. I remember a message Brother David preached a long time ago, and he said, it's amazing what God can bring forth in a day. One day, our brother Hartley was here in this world suffering, and it's amazing what God brought forth in one day. Amen. He is no longer suffering, but rather has received what God has promised. And he has received it simply because of this. He is blessed and holy. He has taken part in the first resurrection. Now, there is a resurrection coming. I tell you this, in fact, there are two. There are two resurrections. Two resurrections. The first mentioned in our text, and the last, when Jesus returns again. The first resurrection is that which is spiritual. Spiritual. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The Apostle Paul tells us, you who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he, what? Quickened. Resurrection. You that believe on Christ, you have obtained a resurrection. And then there is the second. The second resurrection is that which with Christ returns. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so, them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which sleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now listen, so shall we ever be with the Lord. The end. When Christ comes back, don't be thinking there's going to be something else after. When the resurrection takes place, the end. No more. Christ will, we will so be with the Lord forever. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And so as we look at this text, I desire to comfort you who are believers. It's the intent of the scriptures to give you comfort. Every believer in Jesus Christ looks by faith to Christ, and in hope we anticipate his coming. We anticipate his coming, in which he will raise the bodies of our brethren who have gone before us, and then in a moment those that remain shall be transformed. This mortal body must put on incorruption. This corruptible body must put on incorruption. And so some of us, if that's the Lord comes tonight, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Amen. That'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful. If he comes tonight, We know this, there's going to be a noise. There's going to be a great shout. The dead are going to be raised. And then we shall be changed, those that are remaining. The earnest desire of every child of God is to be like Christ. We now, by the grace of God, have been endowed with the Holy Spirit. We have been given a new nature, which is created after God in true holiness. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. You know this. If you've had part in the first resurrection, you are blessed. And listen, you are holy. Amen. He has created in us a holy nature. A holy nature. And so thoroughly did Christ's blood wash away our sins that God declares by searching he cannot find them. You know that? God looking for your sins, he can't find them. Listen what he said in Jeremiah 50. In those days at that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Now yet we know this, if we are believers living in this world, we are afflicted. Though blessed and holy, yet we know this, we are afflicted. We are troubled on every side. Yet every one of these troubles cannot defeat the purpose of God in saving us. Isn't this true? He says this, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Nothing. He said, you know, neither height nor depth nor any other creature. He said, you know what? If I forgot something, if I've left out something, any other creature that you come along, nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And though Satan cannot accuse us before God, but we know this, that he is not yet destroyed and neither is this flesh. Our foe is always against us. He is the father of lies, walking about seeking whom he may devour. But let us be sure of this truth, that he cannot touch one of us except God decree it. Isn't that what happened to Job? That's what happened to Job. He could not touch him unless the Lord permitted. Therefore, believer, as we sojourn in this wilderness, we are often brought into desert places, barren and dark places and times. As we see our brother has gone to be with the Lord, we know this. He is rejoicing, but we sorrow.
Amen.
We grieve. We are troubled in this world. We have this hope, this confidence that we shall be saved, even as he. I like that hymn that said, more happy but not more secure, the glorified believers in heaven. You know what? He's secure, but he's not more secure than me. He's more happy, but he's not more secure. And this confidence we have, we shall be saved who believe on Jesus Christ alone. And even though death of this mortal body come to us, this is our hope, even that God shall raise our bodies to be likened to the body of Christ. You know, Job had that. Consider Job was one of the first books, not chronologically, but historically, was written. Look what Job says about the resurrection. Go to Job 19. Look what Job knew about the resurrection. Job chapter 19 and verse 25. He said, For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter days upon the earth, though after my skins worm destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job, by faith, looked to Christ, his Redeemer, and he said, I know this, my Redeemer liveth. Don't you know that? You believe, you know your Redeemer liveth. And because he lives, this is our hope, that though worms destroy this body, I know this, in my own body, with my own eyes, I shall see the Lord. See, he knew of that day of the resurrection. He knew that he would see with his own eyes. And let this be our calm assurance in our sickness. Let it be a peaceful thought in sorrow. Let this be ease to our heart as we are surrounded by pain and even death. Let this now by faith be, let us be confident and sure that in death's cold hour, our Savior lives.
Amen.
Our Savior lives. And because he is raised from the dead, therefore we have hope too of a resurrection. And this is the result of true faith in Jesus Christ, even as Jesus our Savior now is in the body. Consider how he is in the body. He is body, soul, and spirit. Perfect in every way. And yet, this is how we soon shall be. We shall be raised, body, soul, and spirit, perfectly glorified, even as our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this gospel we preach is the same gospel Christ preached. He said, I am the bread of life, and he that believeth on me shall never hunger and never thirst. Is that true? I ate a lot this week, so I was really hungry. But that's not what it means. It's spiritual hunger. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You that believe on Christ, you no longer hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? You have the righteousness of God. Christ made our righteousness. And he has by grace given us that righteousness. He has made our redemption by his offering. And I know this, not all will come to him. They will not all believe. But the will of God is that all those that are given to Christ shall come to Christ. I know this. Amen. They will come to Christ. They will believe on him. And all that believe, he has willed it so, and they shall be raised the last day. This is our resurrection from the dead. Our eternal life and glory in heaven is forever and immutably tied to the person and work of Christ. You see, we know we're going to be raised because it's tied to him. This is our assurance of the resurrection. This is our assurance of eternal life, is that it is immutably tied to him. We are in vital union with Christ.
Amen.
In vital union with Christ. And so when Jesus was talking to Martha, preached that this last Wednesday. If he was talking to Martha, he said this. Martha said, I know that he's going to raise again at the last day. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We that believe in Christ have this hope that we will never die. My brother, he died physically, but he did not die.
Amen.
This is our hope in Christ, is that we have been raised in Christ. We have been resurrected by grace and through faith in Christ. We know this, that we shall never die. This body may be laid to rest, but we will never die. So as we die physically, we will never die truly. To be absent from the Lord, Paul said, is what? To be present. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so then in the text, we in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, just above that, he said, I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received the mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This 1,000 years, of course, is not a literal one, but it is a figurative one. It means all the days of grace, all the time between Christ coming and Christ returning. This is the 1,000-year reign, and you know what? My brother is a part of that. And if we die, we'll be a part of that. They lived and reigned with him. They were beheaded, right? So what happened to their body? It died. But we know this, that they still lived. They lived and reigned with Christ. Now, I want us to see this hope of the resurrection. Now, what is the basis of our hope in the resurrection? We see that we are going to be raised. We see this, that if we die, our bodies may go to the ground, but we ourselves will ascend into glory. What is the grounds and hope of this resurrection, the resurrection that we are promised? First of all, a representative resurrection. This is the grounds of our hope, a representative resurrection. Secondly, a spiritual resurrection. And third, the revelation concerning the resurrection. First of all, representative. What I mean by this is that all the elect of God were raised with Christ as their representative. If any man is to have hope in obtaining the resurrection, he must have been represented by Jesus Christ. We know this, that only the elect are represented by Jesus Christ. Well, who's that? As many as the Lord ordained to eternal life believed. That's who. They are all that God chose. And this whole scheme of grace is in a covenant of grace, that the Father, before the world began, chose a people, loved a people, a remnant, according to the election of grace. This is those who were given to Jesus Christ. Christ said this. He said, Father, glorify the Son as thou... let me see it. John chapter 17. I'm not going to misquote it. John chapter 17. He said, glorify the Son that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Listen. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Not one more. And not one less. All that the Father gave to Christ, he represented them. We know that in Ephesians 1, that those are blessed. He said, blessed be the Father, God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where all the blessings are. That's where all the blessings are, is in him. According as he had chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, for this purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Here's his motive: in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Here's the means: by Jesus Christ unto himself. And what's all this for? Unto the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Jesus Christ, then, as a surety, as a high priest, came into this world and represented all that the Father gave him. He redeemed them by his blood and obtained for them an everlasting righteousness. Why? For God was not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Amen. Who are the any and the all? If you read the text, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the elect. God's not willing that all men should repent. If he did, all men would repent. If God was willing that none should perish in all the world, then there would be no hell. But we know this, he only is willing that all his elect should repent because they were represented by Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You get a sense of this in verse 30. Who put you in Christ? If you are in Christ, you confess to be in Christ. Who put you there? But of Him, of God, are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. For what purpose? That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God made Christ to be all our salvation. Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
Do you want a part of it? Do you want to do something for it? Do you want to add your righteousness to His?
No.
None of God's people do. Why? We confess this, we have no righteousness of our own. All our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. We dare not add anything to Christ. Christ is all our righteousness. Christ is all our sanctification. Anybody want to sanctify themselves? Who wants to sanctify themselves? Go ahead. Christ is my sanctification. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and let's read verse 9. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Listen, by the which will we are sanctified. You're sanctified by the will of God. Here's the means, through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. How many times have you been sanctified? I've been sanctified once. Not by my will, by the will of God, and by the body of Christ. And you know what Christ did for me? Look at this in verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever one group of people. Who? Them that are sanctified. Those that are chosen by God, those that are redeemed by Christ, they are called by the Spirit, and they are sanctified. They're sanctified by the Spirit of God through regeneration. Therefore, all that Christ did as a man, all that he accomplished in this life, all his faith and obedience, he had done for his elect, and all he has done for us, we did in him. We did in him. Now, the scriptures bear this out in Romans chapter 5. You remember, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered in the world. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. When Adam sinned, you sinned. When Adam died, you died. That's plain language. He was a representative man. Who did he represent? He represented the whole race. Every one of us was represented by that man, and every one of us died. Every one of us died. The scriptures also confess this, that as he was a representative man, so was Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a representative man. The second Adam. And he says this, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see, Christ, by his obedience, obtained the righteousness of God for us. So what's the grounds of my resurrection? What's the hope of eternal life that I have? This, that Jesus Christ was my representative. Now, how does one know if Christ is there representative. I know this. He represented only the elect. He represented only Israel. Spiritual Israel. I know this. He only represented Jacob and not Esau. He represented Peter and not Judas. How do you know he represented you? Simply by this. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? I like this. He told Nicodemus this. He said, you must be born again. Now, he wasn't telling Nicodemus something he had to do. He was telling him the necessity of his new birth. He must be born again because God chose him. He must be born again because Christ represented him. I was telling them in the conference about a man in our congregation, J.D. Farmer. Him and his brother is out there in the car on a Wednesday night. In this old building we had, it just didn't have any lights in the parking lot, and it was dark. These stained glass windows looked like red eyes just staring at you. I didn't like to pull in the parking lot at night. And these two were in the car, and he was telling me this later. He said they were playing rock, paper, scissors to see if they were going to go in or not. J.D. said, I won, so we went in. And that night, the Lord Jesus Christ saved my brother's life. Saved him. He heard the gospel for the first time, and he came to me at the end of that message, and he said, you know what? I didn't hear a word you said, but I heard my shepherd's voice. I heard him. And about several months later, he thought about that night, and he said, you know what? What if I'd lost? What if I'd lost that rock, paper, scissors, and I didn't? I said, J.D., there was no chance you would lose. You believe tonight? You believe on the Son of God? As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Same is true tonight. If you were ordained to eternal life, you will believe. You see, salvation, the resurrection, is of God and not of man. That's the second point I was wanting to make, is this, that you must be raised from the dead in order to receive what Christ has given. In order to know your election and your redemption, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the evidence of this resurrection? It is simply faith in Christ. Faith is the breath of life that he gives us. If he gives you life, you believe. Now, you that believe, can you do anything but believe? I know this. I confess that my faith is weak at best. But I know this. I believe Christ. I trust in his blood alone to cleanse me, his righteousness to cover my nakedness. I trust in his power to keep me. And I have no confidence in the flesh. Is that you? Then you may be sure of your election. You may have confidence that you have been raised from the dead. The evidence of this is spiritual resurrection. So if you have been raised from the dead, know this, that you are blessed and holy, having had part in the first resurrection. And I want you to see the benefit. Go back to your text. Go back to your text and see this. See the benefit then of those who are blessed and holy. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Listen, on such the second death hath no power. Second death. Now listen, we all took part in the first death. Adam, we all took part in that. But now that Christ has raised us and given us spiritual life and faith in him, this is the promise, that the second death has no power over you. The second death has no power over us. This should be most assuring. The second death hath no power simply because of this. Christ has removed your sins from you. Those who partake in the second death will do so because of their sin. That's what sin deserves. Eternal damnation. But consider what Christ has done in removing the power of the second death. He did so by his death. He did so by his death. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. I believe that's right. Yes, it is. This is the heart of every man that preaches the gospel. I don't want to make you afraid. I want to comfort God's people. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her this, her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. Here's the reason. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Why shall the second death have no power on you? Because Christ has bore your sins in his own body on the tree. You see, it's important that I love the justice of God, don't you? I love the holiness of God. You know why? Because a holy God, a just God, cannot demand twice payment. If my sins were paid for in Christ, God cannot demand them of me. Isn't that glorious? That's why God, by searching, cannot find your sin. Christ paid the debt. God's justice is forever satisfied with his one offering. Forever. And so tonight, if you close your eyes and do not wake up tomorrow in this world, you have a good hope of waking up in glory. Why? The second death hath no power over us. The second death hath no power over God's people. And so I pray that God be... I know I've got plenty more, but I'm not going to go any further. And so this is my grounds. Is this your grounds for the resurrection? Do you have a representative who is raised from the dead? I do. Christ is my righteousness. Christ is my redemption. Christ was raised from the dead, and I was raised in him. My grounds for the resurrection is that he's raised me already and given me a new heart, a new life, a new nature, given me faith in Christ. And I know this, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. You know that John chapter 10, that's a blessed passage of scripture. Jesus said this, no man shall pluck them out of my hands. For the Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of his hand. I and my Father are one. This is comforting, that no trouble, no difficulties in this life are going to separate us from this. If God has raised you from the dead, given you faith, blessed and holy are you. And you know this, that we have hope that when we die in this body, we will not die. And soon this body, though we die in this body, and we are ascend to be with Christ, we have hope in this, that one day this body and that spirit are going to be reunited. And we're going to be even as the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day, there'll be no more pain, No more sorrow. No more separation from God. No more death, no more curse, no more sin, no more ignorance. Eternal love and bliss. That's what we'll experience. If you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, may God the Holy Spirit even now give you faith that He expose your sin and your need of Christ, that you would come to Him by faith. And this is an act of God. If you do, who gets the glory? God. I pray that God bless this to your hearts.